Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It'll be all about jobs, 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 tens of thousands of jobs, building the number one convention center in the country. We'll go from number 12 to number one because that's where we deserve to be, the number one state in the nation, period.
That was Governor Cuomo from Wednesday's State of the State address, announcing his plan to build the largest convention center in the country out by the Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens. It would replace the almost universally panned Jacob Javits Center on the far west side of Manhattan. But would it actually create jobs, jobs, jobs? And should we have confidence in the if you build it, they would come argument that the governor was making? Joining us now is an expert in the economics of convention centers, Haywood Sanders. He's a professor of economics and public administration at the University of Texas at San Antonio. And Professor Sanders, welcome back to WNYC. Hello from New York.
It's nice to join you, Brian.
You've gone on the record saying this proposal is, quote, crazy, crazy, crazy. Why, I thought everyone pretty much agreed that the Javits Center is outdated and too small. So what's the problem with building a new convention center?
Well, the problem is, frankly, New York City and New York State aren't proposing to build a new convention center. All Governor Cuomo has done is announce that a private casino gambling firm, Genting, is going to do that itself. So the governor is simply saying this casino gambling resort will happen together with a new convention facility at the site of the Aqueduct Racetrack.
But wait a minute. If you accept casino gambling as an acceptable development project, why isn't that a good thing? If the private sector, rather than our tax dollars, are going to come in and develop a convention center that's bigger and better than the failed Javits Center, why isn't that a good thing?
Well, you've got a whole series of premises there that are open to question. But the first thing to understand is there's absolutely no guarantee that Genting's going to do that. The governor has some control over the state's fisc and the state's financial resources. He has no control over what Genting's going to do. And what we don't know at this stage are any of the substantive details of that proposal.
Well, we're told by the governor's office that it would be 3.8 million square feet. It would include an expanded casino, provided that casino gambling is made legal in the state, and a 1,000-room hotel. It would supposedly create 10,000 construction jobs and 10,000 more permanent jobs. It would also then free up the Javits Center site for redevelopment on the west side of Manhattan, which the governor hopes would turn into another Battery Park City. How many of those promises are you skeptical about?
Pretty much all of them. You want to go down the list?
Sure.
First of all, while we have a number of major casino resort hotels across this country, there's not a one of them that has a convention facility of anything close to the size that Governor Cuomo has mentioned. Now, in part, the governor's language is a little murky, and we want to be very clear about that. He said the biggest center in the country, and he's used the number of 3.8 million square feet. But he wasn't particularly clear about whether that's the whole building or whether that's the exhibit hall space that would be contained therein. We know, because it already exists, that Chicago's McCormick Place Convention Center is now the biggest. It has 2.7 million square feet of exhibit hall space. Presumably, this would be bigger, ultimately. But there's no privately owned casino hotel that comes anywhere close to that. The two largest are in Las Vegas. They're both, the Mandalay Bay and Sands Venetian Complex, about a million square feet each. Note, they're both in Las Vegas. There's nothing else anywhere in the country that comes close. So in terms of scale, in terms of cost, in terms of location, this is thoroughly unprecedented. That means that a firm like Genting doesn't have any particular track record to go on. And that means in order for this thing to work, it's going to have to be a viable business proposition, not merely a gubernatorial pronouncement.
A couple of relevant comments on our Facebook page. Brenda writes, if I were flying all the way to New York City for a convention and had to be marooned out at Aqueduct, I might be pretty peeved. And Bob from Flushing on our comments page, similarly, location, location, location. There's a reason places like San Francisco, Honolulu, and Las Vegas are popular convention destinations. Unless you spend 24 hours a day at the convention center, sooner or later you venture outside to go to a restaurant, see the sights, etc. With the Javits Center, you can at least venture out into Manhattan with all it has to offer. With Cuomo's proposed convention proposal, convention goers would venture out into Ozone Park. But let me counter that for a minute. I don't know how much you know New York City, but you could argue that one of the impediments to conventions coming here has been that it's so expensive to get from the airport to the Javits Center. If they developed this whole area near the airport as Convention Central, and then it's easy enough to go by train from the convention center to Manhattan to go sightseeing if you don't have all your luggage, then maybe it's a win-win.
No, it doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, the principal issues with Javits really have nothing to do with the access to the west side of Manhattan and New York's three regional airports. There are issues of hotel costs, and there are a whole host of other issues involving the Javits. But I think your Facebook commenters have it exactly right. Folks who go to a convention or trade show event are looking for it to be in a place that has some amenity value outside the convention and the convention hall itself. The only way this works, and it works for Genting, it doesn't work for the city or the state, is to have literally a captive audience, to be able to capture their gaming dollars, their food and drink dollars, their hotel dollars on site in Genting's facility. That's why they want to have an exclusive. And that's why they want to have an exclusive casino gambling license for New York City. And that's why they want to be the sole provider of convention center space in New York City. They can't afford to compete with the Javits. So frankly, what this is an enormous job opportunity for Governor Christie in the state of New Jersey. All they have to do is offer an alternative, and they could do that very easily at the Meadowlands or in Jersey City or Newark.
Wait, I don't understand
and
that.
And they're going to reap the benefits of that convention business.
Why? If people don't want to be in Ozone Park, why would they want to be in the Meadowlands?
Because it's far more convenient. The reality of the Javits business, and it's very little understood by folks outside the convention business. The reality of the Javits business is that its calendar is dominated by trade show events that basically serve a New York or metropolitan audience. There are very, very few events that actually bring out-of-towners to New York City and the Javits. That's one of the striking things about it. So lots of events, like the Greater New York Dental Show and the International Toy Fair and the twice-annual New York gift shows, largely attract a metropolitan area, we say day-tripper audience. Those folks are interested in getting to the place that's accessible, okay, that offers, as Midtown Manhattan does, amenities like restaurants and shopping and the like. If those folks have to go to Queens, they have to go to Aqueduct Park in order to go to those kinds of events, they're not going to do it. Mm. It just doesn't make sense.
By the way, you mentioned the American Dental Association.
No, not the American Dental Association. Those folks go to Honolulu.
Yeah.
The Greater New York Dental Society.
Excuse
me. Is what meets in Javits.
Right. So we looked around just to see what the competition is attracting. And currently, now conventioneering at the in Las Vegas, the American Beekeeping Federation, the Beekeeping Conference. Boston has the annual joint mathematics meetings. In Phoenix, there's the bridal fashion debut. Atlanta has the Mary Kay Inc. 2012 Leadership Conference. Philadelphia has the National Field Hockey Coaches Association. And in Chicago next month, they're planning the International Cluster of Dogs. So, Queens, this could be you. Now, also on our Facebook page, Sarah writes, giant convention center projects are so 5 years ago. But here's the governor again from the speech. He says not having a first-class convention center hurts our economy.
Convention centers are important economic generators. Right now, when you look at the list of where New York is, sadly, New York's Convention Center, the Jacob Javits Convention Center on the west side of Manhattan, is down at the bottom of the list, literally number 12, after places like Anaheim, California. There's New York. Right now, the Jacob Javits Convention Center is not competitive. That hurts the New York economy because we're just not getting the shows here.
So if Javits is uncompetitive, then are you recommending that New York not even bother to try to have a competitive convention center?
Oh, come on, Brian. That's a silly question and a leading one. If space and size were solely the determinants of convention center success, then by definition, the biggest one in the country, in Chicago, McCormick Place, would outdo every other one significantly in drawing attendance. But that's not true. Chicago's McCormick Place, far larger than the Javits, as the governor has already stipulated, draws about 35 or 40% more convention and trade show attendees than the Javits does. The reality is, and the convention center in Las Vegas that's smaller, as well as the companion center in Orlando that's also smaller than Chicago, outdraws it as well. You can't translate just the size of the center into its performance. What matters is where it is, how it's marketed, what kinds of incentives it offers, and what kinds of amenities are available to help sell that center. So the whole premise of what the governor's saying, what the governor is arguing, that simply having a bigger one translates into more business, more jobs, economic impact, no. That's absolutely, positively false. But it makes a good soundbite.
It makes a good soundbite. And we know that politicians really like projects that they can cut a ribbon in front of. This is a physical project that would last as a legacy. Of course, the governor hopes it won't last as a white elephant legacy. But as opposed to, say, spending money on new tracks and signals for the MTA, which is very important, but it isn't a big flashy development project. And guess what? It didn't get noticed, mentioned in the state of the state address, only how much they're cutting MTA-related taxes.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is understand the other side. When you talk about white elephant, please understand this is not the governor's project. This is not a public project. This is a private project. If Genting builds it, and frankly, I think there's an enormous question mark about their building anything close to this size. But if they build it, if it turns out to not do the kind of business they want, they'll simply shut it down. They have no obligation to keep running a facility that isn't producing for them. Or they may turn to the state once again and say, hey, you need to take it over. You need to subsidize this. You need to give us more in order to have the kind of convention center you want still operating. And I know that you and your listeners have encountered similar kinds of pleas in the state of New York in years before. I wouldn't be terribly surprised if that's the road we're going down here.
Atlantic Yards, anyone? And that is the last word with Haywood Sanders, professor of economics and public administration at the University of Texas at San Antonio, one of the nation's leading experts on the economics of convention centers. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, why your political party affiliation might skew your perception of objective reality and other ways in which context matters. Stay with us.